Welcome to Cleaning Business Life. My name is Shannon Miller, and I am your host and founding member of Clean Freaks University. This show is sponsored by the Structure, Scale, and Profit Cleaning Business Academy, my signature program. And I'm also joined by my co-host, Kimberly Gonzalez, inventor extraordinaire of Pure Evergreen Cleaning Products. Kim, take it away.
Hello, hello, my beautiful cleaning friends. Welcome back to Cleaning Business Life. We are so glad you guys are here with us. Today, we have a special guest. Shannon, would you like to introduce him?
Drum roll. Kimberly Extraordinaire, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So tell us, I guess, just tell us a little bit about like how long you've been bookkeeping on your own, because you specialize with bookkeeping and we wanted to bring somebody on, especially right about now, because everybody's, you know, doing their taxes and maybe their business is growing. So maybe they put money aside to like start hiring somebody to do bookkeeping. And I think it's a great idea. I know for me, when I first started my cleaning business, I was like, I don't want to touch this stuff. I don't want to deal with it. So I had a bookkeeper like right off the bat because I knew that I wanted to have everything organized. And then when I switched over to my new company, I was like, I already have that in place. And it's been a dream. I have a folder and I like literally just shove everything in that folder and say bye-bye and send it away.
Yep. Yeah, so, totally.
But so how long? Do you have a full service bookkeeper?
Me? Yeah. But she's also my bookkeeper /CPA.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And Ellie, cool. My daughter, she's 17. She's going to be 18 in October. She's taking classes right now and courses to become a certified bookkeeper by the time she's 18.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's awesome.
She wants to make some money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's an awesome little side hustle if you know, when you're starting out and then can turn it into a full-time thing, but that's really cool.
Yeah. So tell us, how long have you been bookkeeping on your own?
Yeah. So, I've always been kind of like a numbers guy, personal finance nerd since I was like a teenager. I'm just trying to manage my own money. And I don't know, it was just kind of my thing when I was growing up. And then I started going to school for accounting. COVID hit. So I dropped out of school because I couldn't afford it anymore. And then I went and did sales, but I always was kind of helping out my family with their businesses, doing the bookkeeping and stuff. Cause like I've said, I've always just kind of been a little bit more inclined to play with the numbers and just be in spreadsheets and stuff like that. So it's been about like 5 or 6 years that I've been doing accounting and bookkeeping in general. But as far as like my business, I started my business back in 2021. At the end of 2021, I basically saw a Facebook ad like showing you how to set up a bookkeeping business, because I didn't really know that was a thing. I'd heard of like accounting firms and all that stuff, but I didn't know you could do a bookkeeping only firm, and you didn't have to have, you know, a CPA license to do it. And I already kind of knew how to do the accounting and the bookkeeping, and I like doing the detail oriented stuff, just making sure everything's kind of put together. And I saw, yeah, seriously. Yeah. And that's how my parents are too. So they're always like, hey, can you like put a spreadsheet together or something, or just like put our stuff together? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll look at it. But yeah, I took the course. They kind of showed me how to set up the bookkeeping business side of things. So like getting clients, putting agreements in place, oh, and wow, then doing like having a good client experience. So it's not like, you know, communicating with your clients every 2 weeks, because I feel like that's what a lot of the accounting industry is kind of known for, is a lack of communication. But yeah, they just kind of showed you how to set up a really good business side of things. And then I kind of hit the ground running, just slowly gained clients, and then kind of found myself working with a lot of cleaning services, power washing services, just kind of home service companies and stuff. But I always liked the cleaning companies because they're pretty laid back and fun to work with. And but yeah, thank that's you. Pretty much. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And it's a great niche to be in, because I know a lot of cleaning companies, they always ask for specific, you know, bookkeeping or CPAs that specialize in it, so they know how to write off stuff. So that's good that you like have focused, you know, on the cleaning side of it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's always good to like in any industry, because there's bookkeepers in every niche. If you can find someone that works with a majority of those kind of clients in your industry, they don't have to niche specifically in there, because I don't niche specifically in the cleaning industry either. I work with all kinds of service companies, but a majority of my clients are cleaning companies. But yeah, if you can find someone that knows your industry, they know kind of, you know, the softwares associated with the industry, just like not only QuickBooks, you know, using like Jobber, House Call Pro, Market, ZenMade, BookingQuala, all those. It really kind of gives you someone to brainstorm with when it comes to connecting those things, because the integrations can kind of be a pain in the butt sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
yeah, I'm dealing with that right now with like three cleanups. They integrate with House Call Pro. It messed up the integration. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have someone who knows both of the softwares to go back in, fix the deposits, fix undeposited funds, all that fun back-end stuff. But yeah, if you are a cleaning business owner and you can find someone that, you know, knows the industry really well, then I would highly suggest going with them. But yeah, it's always good to have someone, you know, who knows your industry as far as the bookkeeping side goes.
Nice. So I am curious, like, I know a lot of people are curious. So what is the difference between like bookkeeping versus a CPA? Because I think there's a big, you know, there's a difference. And I learned that, you know, early on in my business to know the difference.
Yeah, for sure. So usually when people ask me that, I kind of describe it as like a doctor and a nurse relationship. So bookkeepers are, yeah, so bookkeepers are more like the nurses, and they, you know, check your blood pressure, do the daily activities, kind of make sure your overall general health is okay. And then when it is time to give you like a specific diagnosis, you go to like a specialty doctor, right, to get your diagnosis, or for a CPA to file a tax return or help you with tax resolution or tax planning and all that stuff. And fun fact, you don't always have to go to a CPA to get a really good tax professional. So that's kind of one of the misconceptions I see a lot, is that a lot of business owners and just people in general, they hear CPA and they automatically think they do everything when it comes to accounting. A lot of CPAs I talk to actually have been transitioning into, you know, some have been starting bookkeeping businesses. Some do tax resolution only. Some do accounting only. Some do audit only. So and some CPAs don't even mess with tax. Like a lot of CPAs in the corporate world, they go into the audit side of things for corporate, and they don't really mess with the tax side of things. So if you are looking someone to specifically help you out with taxes, I would make sure to make sure that they specialize in tax specifically, mm-hmm. either tax resolution or tax planning or tax strategy. And if you don't necessarily, you don't necessarily have to go with the CPA, because you can also go with a tax professional like an EA, an enrolled agent. And there's tons of enrolled agents out there.
What does an enrolled agent do? Like, what is their?
They're basically licensed to practice under the IRS, and they can, you know, do tax resolution. They can file tax returns and all that stuff. It's basically another licensed professional that can handle your taxes for you. And a lot of people don't know that they can go that route. They automatically.
I didn't know that. CPA.
I didn't either. I
learned. Yeah. We learned something new.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And a lot of the times, if you do go with an EA, they most of the time are a little bit cheaper too, because they don't have the three letters behind their name. So you're not paying that premium. And you can still get a really, really good result and develop a really, really good relationship with someone who's going to take care of you properly. Because it's so one of the statistics that I've heard of lately is that 70% of CPAs in the next, I think, 7 or 10 years are going to be retiring. So a lot yes. of them are on their way out. So if you can find a really good EA or a new CPA, a lot of people aren't getting as much into the accounting profession, because it's just, it's hard to get licensed. There's a lot of school. It's expensive. And generally, when you think of accounting, you think of boring, but
not if you're a numbers and spreadsheet kind of a person. You don't find it boring. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Like myself, I love, like, if you give me a spreadsheet and something to track, I'm like, I'm a happy camper. I'll be good. Like, I don't know. I just like that stuff. I like kind of planning things out and all the theory on that side of things, but I just like business in general. So, but yeah, if you can find like an EA or someone who is just starting out on the tax side of things, a lot of the times they're going to be more tech savvy. They're going to, you know, be a little bit more easier to communicate with. They're not going to have as many clients. So the communication side of things will probably be better. And like I said, the tax or the tech side of things is also going to be a little bit easier for you, because some of the older guys and gals getting out of the profession are they like to do things manually, and sometimes it can be a little bit harder on the client. So
it can be.
I'm curious, like, when you are trying to look for an EA, what are some things that you should ask, like, when looking for an EA? Like, what kind of things should they ask?
I would ask their response time, if they guarantee a response time. So I don't know. in my firm, I always guarantee a 48-hour response besides weekends, just so the client knows that they're not going to send you a message and it's going to get left in the inbox for like 3 weeks when you need to get your returns done or you need to get a loan or whatever the case may be. So I would ask response time. I would ask what industry most of the time they work with. And then if you are a business owner, I would ask how many businesses they deal with and how many business tax returns they do. Because some EAs and CPAs and tax professionals, they won't file certain types of returns. So some don't deal with partnerships. Some don't deal with S-corps. Some don't deal with business tax returns at all. So I would just make sure. Yeah, those are probably the three main things. So industry, response time, and then what types of returns they deal with, business or personal majority, just so you know they have experience with it. They're not going to, you know, let something go to the wayside because they don't know how to handle it or whatever.
Very good info. Learned something new today.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad I was able to help a little bit.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I had no idea that an EA even existed. It wasn't on my radar. I did share a little bit about my first accounting experiences. when I first got an accountant, I didn't know the difference between a bookkeeper or an accountant. So I picked someone who was going to help me file my tax forms. And the person who was going to do that very first year, he ended up having a massive heart attack on tax day. And his wife tried to step into his place and kept doing the draws on my account and never filed any of the paperwork. So it took a long time and a lot of money to fix it. She didn't call me and say, by the way, you know, Mike has died and blah, blah, blah. She just kept doing the draws because she was, you know, scrambling around trying to, you know, I get it. She'd got house payments and everything else, but I'm like, it was a very expensive blunder, that is for sure. So
for sure.
And not every experience is going to be like what I just mentioned. The industry, as Mason has suggested, is changing, which is awesome. And it'll be nice to have fresh eyes and people who can deal with the integration with software, because that's usually what does it for a lot of people, is the integration with software. I have to learn new stuff all of the time and just like, and you can't always YouTube it, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, YouTube University is always awesome to go to if you're like struggling with something a little. But yeah, definitely when it comes to like the integrations with QuickBooks and all the different softwares, if you don't know the debits and the credits and like the accounting side of things, it can get really, really messy. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's a majority of my clients. They try and deal with it themselves first and then they YouTube it and then they're just like, all right, I can't do this. It's like,
it's too much.
Yeah, it's too time consuming too. Like you can't put that time back into building a team. You can't like go find new jobs. You can't find new work. It can take a lot of time, but yeah, most of my clients are just like, want to take it off my plate. I want to focus on growing my business. I always kind of refer to bookkeeping kind of as like Wi-Fi. It's like, you don't notice it's there until it's not. And then you're like, oh crap, I need to do something about this really quick. Or I can't really move. And in online businesses, especially like mine, it can be a little hard to move forward if you don't have Wi-Fi in your business. Same thing with bookkeeping. It's hard to know where you're going to go if you don't have accurate financials. You don't know what you're spending money on. You don't know what you're making.
Right. That's so important.
It is. And I know one of the main, like I get this question a lot from different people in our group, but one of them is like, because they ask me and they kind of mix their personal stuff with their business. So they use their personal debit card to buy business stuff. So what are some tips that you, and I know we're kind of going off our question, Shannon.
It's totally fine.
I wanted to tie this in because I see this question a lot. And I know for me, when I started my business, I made sure it was 100% separate. Like I had my LLC, I got my bank set up, I got my credit cards, I got my, you know, debit card all separate. So what are some things that companies can do when they're getting ready to hire a bookkeeper or CPA or an EA? What are some things that they need to do to have in place to make your job easier?
Yeah. So first thing I tell clients. Oh yeah, no worries. First thing I tell clients is to separate that stuff as soon as you can. If you're not able to get a separate bank account or business bank account set up, then I would just make sure you keep track of those things. I would keep the receipts, either put them in like a spreadsheet or something, just showing the date, what you paid for, where it was from, what it was for, and the amount before you get those things set up. Once you get those things set up, make sure to keep those things separate. So your personal and business, you always want to be separate. There's always going to be times where you use the wrong card on accident. I've done it plenty of times. It's not a big deal, but when you keep doing it, it becomes a habit. That's when it can get really messy. That's when it's going to cost you a little bit more for accounting, because when you go to do your business taxes, you're not going to know what your business made and what you personally made. So keeping those things separate is super, super vital when it comes to the bookkeeping and accounting side of things.
No commingling of funds.
Exactly. Yeah. No commingling.
You recommend, like, and just from your expertise, when they get their business set up, do they need to have an LLC to get their business bank account open?
As far as business bank accounts, I'm pretty sure you do have to have an EIN to get your business bank account set up. But if you don't have an EIN and you're like just starting out and you're just a sole proprietorship, you can just open a separate checking account and just run things through there. As long as things are separate and you have like a separate set of statements, you can connect that bank account to QuickBooks and use that as your business kind of accounting software setup. Just as long as everything's separate and you're not, you know, running business expenses through the personal account and vice versa, you should be good. But yeah, I always recommend people just to separate things out as soon as possible. And like I said, you don't have to have a business bank account per se. You can just get like open a new personal checking account under your name if you're a sole proprietorship. But yeah, setting up an LLC and getting a business bank account is probably going to be the easiest route just to keep everything separated and not give you a headache when it comes to tax time.
As far as the LLC, I think it depends on the state that you reside in, because some states require that you have an actual official LLC to register you at the state. And then other states, you don't have to have an LLC. Like when I had Castle Keeper Cleaning, I was a sole proprietor wasn't until I paid cash for my house. And then I was like, okay, I need to have an LLC because I want to protect my asset, right?
Yep.
So I think I think it depends on what state you do reside in that you're doing business in.
Yeah. And always check like your local and state kind of regulations and stuff when it comes to taxes. And that's really when I recommend people go to someone local, because there are tax preparers and tax prep companies that can help you throughout the U.S. And I don't want to knock any of them. I'm sure some of them do a really, really good job in other states, but it is always kind of nice to have someone a little bit more personal, someone that knows your local legislation a little bit better and regulations when it comes to like payroll taxes, federal, state, all that stuff. Having someone local is a little bit nicer when on the tax side of things, especially with payroll too, because things are changing constantly.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Yes, they are. I know my CPA was like, oh, this changed. And now we have, I know Colorado passed a new law that once I'm like, because I'm switching over to payroll now, I'm going to be switching over to payroll. So there's a new law, like I can only have up to a certain amount of employees before I have to start paying, you know, time, like, what was it? I'm thinking I'm in a brain fart for PTO or something like that. Or no, it's family leave.
So yeah, the family
law. So it's like, I'm always asking my CPA, I'm like, because I have a really good, she's kind of like my bookkeeper / CPA. And so I love that she keeps me in the loop for things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, biggest thing is communication. Like if you don't hear from your tax person, at least if you're paying for the service, at least once a quarter. I mean, talking to them once a quarter is always a really good idea, just so you have a kind of foundation of like where you're going to be at when it comes time to pay taxes.
So you don't have any surprises.
Yeah,
nothing worse than getting a big surprise.
Yeah. And making sure you're setting aside money throughout the year.
Yes.
Having those quarterly meetings or having a monthly meeting with your bookkeeper is always just, it kind of forces you to pay a little bit more attention to it, because it can get left to the wayside super easy. When you're, you know, got to run payroll and you got to hire people and you got to find new clients and you got to do all that stuff. So it can definitely get kicked to the curb pretty easy, but making sure to stay on top of it is going to save you a ton of stress, time, and money during tax season. So having those meetings and just having that open line of communication with your tax professional or your bookkeeper is super important.
We'll be back after a quick break. When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
So one time a month, or at least once a quarter, for all of those who are considering maybe giving Mason a call. I think that's awesome. So you had mentioned that you do a little bit of work for your parents, and they are entrepreneurs, correct?
Yeah.
What industry are they in, if you don't mind us knowing a little bit of information?
So my dad has been a photographer. He was self-employed for, the majority of my life growing up. My mom, she works as a speech therapist. Well, she worked as a speech therapist in like the skilled nursing setting. So she was doing that for about 10 years while my dad was a photographer, self-employed, doing his own thing. And he always used FreshBooks. And I would always give him crap about it to switch over to QuickBooks. And he's like, yeah, I know I need to. And I'm like, I can help you if you want. But yeah, he was a photographer and she was, she is a speech therapist. And they recently opened up a residential assisted living facility here in Colorado.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like, I'm so proud of them. It's been so cool to see because they found this amazing house. It's like a ranch style out like in the country. It's got an amazing view.
Where is it at?
It's in Lone Tree, Colorado. It's called the Haven Home.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's, cool. It's, yeah, if anyone wants to check it out or they are in Colorado and looking for someone that's, or somewhere that's not a big box facility for their elderly parents, I would highly recommend it. They have daycare. They do adult daycare for seniors and stuff. And they also just got licensed for long-term assisted living. Wow. So like live-in people.
Pretty. I like Lone Tree.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't know if you've heard of MacArthur Ranch, but it's kind of backed up to some hills and stuff. And it's just like, it's an amazing view. It's an amazing setting. And they've put in a ton of work for the past like 2 years to get it up and ready and up to regulation and just like create a really amazing experience for all their residents. But yeah, as far as the bookkeeping side of things go, like they made sure to get everything separated out as quick as possible. And it's been, I mean, there's been countless times because they have a partner. They have a partner with it. It's another couple and it's one of my mom's best friends and she's a speech therapist as well. And she did a little bit of work in the skilled nursing setting as well as like little kids and infants and stuff, helping them, develop their speech and stuff. But yeah, them being partners has made the bookkeeping really complicated. So there's been,
imagine.
Yeah. So making sure, like if you are a partnership or you have a partner, definitely getting an accounting software set up just so you can see what everyone's getting paid, what everyone's contributing and all that kind of stuff. Cause it can get really muddy really fast, especially with if you're putting money into the business and, trying to pay your bills with the money from the business. Having that side of things figured out has saved a ton of arguments and and stress. Just being able to see everything on paper, knowing it's accurate and up to date, and you're not, where's my money going? You know where exactly it's going, what you're spending money on, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I had a business with my best friend. We're no longer best friends from it, but this was like 30 years ago, and we decided to open up a business together, and she had different financial responsibilities than I did, and arguments ensued, and it basically ruined our friendship. We still talk today, but we're not like we used to be really close. And it was awful to watch, and it was unnecessary. And when you have to give back a $10,000 check, it sucks.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, that's the one thing I've learned, like just from the stress it puts on the relationship with that person, just from seeing like my parents go through it, because it's like my mom's best friend. And I won't dive too deep into it, but if you are thinking about getting into a partnership with a friend or a family member, make sure your values are aligned. Make sure you're on the same page about the finances. Everything is on the table. From what I've seen, it's like, it's basically getting married to that person for an extended period of time until you either sell the business or you know, you hire an operator so you guys don't have to deal with the day to day. But
right.
Yeah, I would definitely make sure to make sure you're aligned with them. Make sure you guys have everything on the table and you know what's going on, because it can definitely get muddy. So.
Yes, it got muddy. I love her to death, but it was unnecessarily complicated over, you know, finishing work on time and following schedules, and then expenses were like her expenses for brand new jeans, where I had expenses for paper clips, right?
Yep.
Different values.
Yep.
So learn from my experience for sure. And I'm excited. The adventure that your parents have taken on, I think it's going to be a very successful adventure for both of them. So that's really awesome. I just love it.
It's been really cool to watch.
Much success for it. And yeah, then is there anything else that you can tell our listeners about you and your business and where they can reach you and all that good stuff?
Yeah. If you do need help with your books, or you just want to have a consultation to see where you're at and get some free ideas or brainstorm with me about how to get things organized, anyone can reach out to me. You can go to my website. It's checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com. It's spelled a little bit funny, so I always have to tell people the spelling. There's no C in check, but yeah, I'm always open to, you know, help people out if they're struggling with keeping things organized. I know it can get extremely overwhelming really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. Especially if you are using an accounting software already, or you just don't know where to start. It can really help to talk to someone, even if it's not me. But yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to help anyone that needs help. That's kind of my main goal, is to alleviate that stress. Cause I know it can be a ton of bricks on your back, especially when you're running the business, trying to hire people and, you know, using that money to pay your bills too. So knowing where it's going is probably pretty important.
Worth the investment, you guys. Let me just tell you that. And I am not a spreadsheet lover. I have my VA do spreadsheets, and I have a friend that we do the farmer's market. We're the directors of the farmer's market, and she's in charge of spreadsheets, because spreadsheets just give me anxiety. I can draw it out for her. I'll draw it out for her. And then I'm like, this is where I want it to go in the things. And like, we work good together because those things... Yeah, it's worth the investment. That's what I have to say.
Yeah. And the time investment too, like the amount of time it takes to figure it out on your own, especially if you don't know the software or you don't know debits and credits or accounting and stuff. Because QuickBooks is an accounting software, so you have to have a little bit of technical knowledge to kind of navigate it. And that's kind of one of the things that bugs me about QuickBooks, is they advertise it to all these business owners as like, so easy to use, just set it up, just set and forget it. And then people just let it go, and it turns into a big mess. And they use those numbers to file their taxes and stuff. And you can overstate your income or miss out on expenses. It happens all the time. But yeah, the time investment is huge too. All my clients only spend about like 45 minutes to an hour per month on their entire bookkeeping. Some of the times it's only like 15 to 30 minutes, because we don't even have a call that includes like their monthly review call. But yeah, I mean, knowing where you're at, knowing what you can afford, is really huge, especially in the cleaning industry, since you are service-based. Knowing if you can bring on another cleaner, or how much money you need to make an addition to bring on another cleaner or hire something out. Or if you just want to put a little bit more money in your pocket, you can do that a lot easier, by eliminating expenses rather than going out and finding additional work. Cause I mean, if you're running at like a 20% profit margin, then you'd have to go out and find an additional $1,000 worth of work to get that extra $200. Whereas you can, if you wanted to, you can go in and look at your P&L, see what you're spending money on. Oh, I'm spending $200 a month in credit card interest expense. Let me pay that off. And then that's an extra $200 in my pocket, instead of having to put the time and effort into finding additional clients on top of all that stuff. So
good info today. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot.
Awesome. Yeah. If anyone has questions or anything, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook. My Facebook is just my name, Mason Crowder. And then my Instagram is just checkbooks, C-H-E-K books on Instagram. But yeah, I'm always happy to answer questions, talk about business, help anyone out with anything they're struggling with in business. I'm a business nerd. I love to talk about it. So
I like business nerds.
Yeah, it's fun. It's kind of like a game for me. So it's fun.
I would actually like to, and I'm just going to throw this out there and you can think about it. I'd like to actually have you come on as a guest every quarter and talk about what they can anticipate for the next quarter. I think that would be really beneficial to all of our listeners out there. Yeah. And if you can physically send me all your information so I can include that in the show notes.
For sure.
So that way they can just click on the link and get right over to you. That would be awesome.
Totally.
Do you have, any other questions for us?
What are you guys doing the rest of the day?
We have one more Zoom and then we have meetings after this. So
fun stuff. Yeah. Yep. I feel you on that. I'm in the same boat. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. It was an awesome talk. You guys are great to talk to. It was super fun.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna have to come down that way again. It's been a while since I've been down that way. So
yeah, for sure. Let me know. We'll grab a coffee or something. We can chat business.
That's Coloradans.
Yep. Exactly.
Thank you so much, Mason. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You guys too.
See you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Cleaning Business Life is sponsored by Pure Evergreen Cleaning Products. That's PureEvergreen.com. Pure Evergreen Cleaning Products.